Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are preparing to move forward in Titus chapter 2 today, specifically focusing on sound doctrine, and we are moving on from verse 1, where Paul says to Titus, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." And this is where we are moving forward from. And that is, Paul encourages Titus to speak that which is suitable or proper for uncorrupt instruction or uncorrupt teaching. You're passing on information, and this information that you communicate is to be uncorrupt. Why? Because you are preaching and teaching the people of God concerning the word of God or what God requires. And this instruction is not according to man. This instruction is according to God. So this is why I said, we need to brace for impact, because what happens is when we speak about sound doctrine, which again is the priority here, it is most certainly the priority. But when we speak of sound doctrine, man does not have the prerogative to shift the focus or to modify the message. And sometimes we think of that only in relation to the gospel, but this is in relation to the word of God, period. And the gospel is the word of God, and all of the instruction that we're given in relation to the gospel is also non-negotiable. It is not to be modified. It is God's word for his people, and it is uncorrupt, and it is to be communicated that way. So this is where we pick up now in verse 2 of Titus chapter 2, and reading again from the New American Standard Bible, it says, "Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance." So here we have sound doctrine that is to be communicated, that is to be preached and taught. And specifically regarding the older men, here's what the expectation is. Here's what the word says about older men. And this is the message for the church, to the church, concerning this specific group. So it's a message to the church, but it is in relation to this group, the older men, which is also tied to the elders. But in this case, it is specifically speaking about the older men. So the older men are to be sober. They are to be sober in their lives. They are to be sober in relation to alcohol. They are to be sober. The way that they live, the life that they live, is to be a sober life. So that means that they are not to be influenced in such a way so as to compromise their sobriety. And again, that is whether in relation to alcohol or just in relation to anything else that influences them in their thinking and their decision making. So this is the sobriety that's communicated here. And it is sometimes also communicated as being temperate. But again, they are to be sober. And then they are also to be honorable. This is communicated again as dignified. And in some cases, it's communicated as grave. But it means to be honest and honorable. And that's what we want from our older men. We want our older men to be honest and honorable. We want them to be sober. But most importantly, God expects it from the older men among his people. Remember, this is to the church. So this is concerning believers, and this is more specifically concerning believers in this group of older men among the believers. So this is instruction for these older men and how they are to live their lives, to be honest and sober, or honorable and sober. And for us to make the presumption that this is automatically the case, I assure you, it is not so. And so I think what we have to be realistic about is just because someone is older, even as a believer, it doesn't automatically make them wiser. And the way that, you know, the older men are to live their lives, it should be an example. And it should be an example of this sobriety or temperance. And it should be an example of this honesty and this reputation for being honorable. So it's not an automatic. You know, you can come across older men and women, but men in this case who just have not matured at all in their faith. And it's a sad thing to see, especially when you consider the impact on the church. So it's very important to understand how this is related to sound doctrine, and specifically with regard to the older men. So it goes on to speak about the faith, the sound in faith, that is to be uncorrupt in their faith, and in love, and in endurance or patience, as it is communicated in some places. This is perseverance. So this is being uncorrupt in what they believe, in what they love, and in their hope or endurance, in their patience and perseverance. Sound, you got to be true and uncorrupt in your faith, true and uncorrupt in your love, what you love, who you love, and true and uncorrupt in your hope, in your endurance, in your patience, in your perseverance. So this is what is expected from the older men, and this is sound instruction. And this is what Titus is to communicate. This is what he's to preach and to teach. And we must not make the presumption that this is automatically the case just because we have older men who claim membership in a local church. It is not just a matter of what they say, but it is just important how they live. And how they live must be guided by the word of God. And here's what God says specifically for the older men. And again, this is God's word. So when we move from the older men concerning or related to sound doctrine, then we move to the older women. This is what Paul does in verse 3, again, looking at Titus chapter 2. So when he speaks of the older women, he being Paul and communicating this to Titus as far as sound doctrine goes, he says, reading from the New American Standard Bible, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good." So now we move from the older men to the older women. Likewise, okay? Likewise. So this means, in as much as we've talked about what the older men are to be, then likewise, here is what the older women are to be. How are they to live? What is the example that they are to demonstrate? So in the same way, their behavior or their demeanor must be one of holiness. They must demonstrate reverence as women of God. And this is, again, what the older women are called to model. They are to model both in their position and in their condition, like their actual state and how they demonstrate or display or live it out. And that's what is noticed. You know, your condition is played out. It's lived out based on your position in Jesus Christ. So in other words, if you're a woman of God, live godly. And this is what is expected in relation to the older women, specifically highlighting what he starts out. First of all, is behavior, holy behavior, modeling holiness, and not gossips, not malicious gossip. That is false accusers. That is tied to the word that is communicated for Satan, you know, the false accuser, the slanderer, to slander people and to falsely accuse people, to be a busybody with your lips. And that's what it highlights. And if it weren't a problem, then it wouldn't be communicated. So it you know, it certainly is an area of concern. And therefore, this is what Paul communicates to Titus regarding the older women, and specifically the sound instruction that Titus is to preach and teach in relation to the older women. So they are not to be malicious gossips, that is, false accusers and slanderers, but they are to be reverent, holy women, demonstrating this in their lives, that is, how they live. And they're not to be servants of much wine, not to be given to much wine or enslaved to much wine. You know, that is the dependence on wine, and this is what they are not to demonstrate. And this has to do, again, with the picture of sobriety and the model of holiness. So this is a warning, and this is something that is important. And it continues on to communicate what they are to teach. So it is how they live or what they model, starting off with the behavior of the older women, and then specifically moving to what they are to teach. And it says here again at the end of verse 3 in the New American Standard Bible, teaching what is good. So this is obviously important in relation to sound doctrine. They are to teach what is good. And what is it this good? You know, what is it that they are to teach this good? And this means, what do they teach this valuable? What do they teach this virtuous or according to what is right and well and worthy of being received? You know, it's beneficial and valuable for the person who's on the receiving end of it. And this is what they specifically talk about. And here in the New American Standard, they say in verse 4, it says, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands. So there's... The to be sober is not here in the New American Standard Bible, although it's translated in the King James. So when it speaks of teaching the young women to be sober and to love their husbands, just the way that it is communicated is a little different in the New American Standard Bible. So just dealing with what the older women are to teach the younger women here, to be sober is to be of sound mind. So teaching them to be of sound mind, or encouraging them to be of sound mind. And it goes on to speak about them loving their husbands, or being fond or affectionate toward their husbands. So this is what it means to love their husband. So, I mean, I want you to think of this. This is what the older women are to teach the young women. Okay? So when we speak of teaching, they're communicating to the young women what it means to be of sound mind, what it means to live soberly. And this is what they're teaching them. They're teaching the young women about having a sound life or a sober life. And oftentimes I think we have a tendency to outsource this, and we feel like we group people together in such a way that we isolate rather than integrate. And what I mean by that is, you know, we take all the older women and we put them together, and then we take all the younger women and we put them together. Well, that's contrary to sound doctrine. It actually, you know, that's not the way that it is supposed to work. The older women, and mind you, this is sound doctrine. So this is sound teaching. Now, whatever other teaching you prefer, it may be to your liking, but it's not in accordance with God's word. And obviously, you know, you can tell by the way that I'm communicating it. I have a problem with it, because I think that we have worked so much against what the Lord communicates in his word as being sound instruction. And we have become so confident in our own methods and in our own programs, even though they're contrary to God's word. And it's puzzling, to say the least. And it's quite disturbing and concerning, because God establishes in his word and communicates that sound instruction, that is according to the word of God, is that the older women teach the young women. And we seem to just want to, again, group the older women together and group the younger women together and tell them to enjoy their time. And I just don't understand that. I know why, but I don't understand it. I certainly don't agree with it. It's very concerning. So they are to teach the young women, you know, to teach them in terms of their love for their husbands and to be of sound mind in their conduct. And it's easy to overlook this and to feel like it's not something that's important, but it is very, very important. I came across something here not long ago that was dealing with divorce during the pandemic. And here's what's communicated about it. It's called, the article was, "Here's How to Safely and Cheaply Break It Off. Key Tips for Making a Clean Break." And then it talks about viewing, or it describes divorce agreements in terms of increased sales. You know, it's a business. Divorce is a business. And ways to end your marriage safely and relatively cheap. So, you know, this is sort of what can easily be missed when it comes to what the older women are to teach the young women. That is, you know, how do you love your husband? What does that look like? And if the older women aren't modeling it, in other words, where it speaks about the behavior of the older women and it speaks of them being reverent or holy in their demeanor, that means that they're obedient to God. If they're not living that, then they certainly can't teach it, you know. So when it speaks of loving their husbands, well, if you're an older woman and you have no regard for your husband, or you have not modeled the holiness that God requires, then what sort of instruction can you give to the younger women? What is being communicated oftentimes now, and I'm speaking about the church, so I'm not, you know, I'm speaking about the approach that the church often takes, and that is we really take this this liberation, and we try to apply it in such a way that it contradicts the word of God. So, in other words, you know, older women are oftentimes communicating to younger women, whether they're daughters or whether it is just younger women who they mentor or communicate with. They are really emphasizing independence and everything that has to do with careers and life to your satisfaction, but not in obedience to God's word. And that, again, is, you know, this is not politically correct, but it is doctrinally sound. So it's so interesting to see the approach that we take and we encourage and we emphasize spiritual life and holiness and a reverence for God in terms of what women are to model and what the older women are to teach the younger women are really being dismissed and redefined. So this approach to liberation now has moved to the forefront, and it has not only taken over the world, but it has taken over the church. And therefore, to say anything that has to do with the role of the woman in relation to her husband or her family is frowned upon if it is communicated in accordance with God's word. In other words, if it's sound doctrine, it ain't popular. But if we're speaking of liberation and, hey, you need to look out for you and you need to strive for this and do this, then it is applauded and it is looked at as something that God endorses, when in actuality, he does not. So, again, that doesn't mean that you have to be barefoot, pregnant, and uneducated. It just means that there is a requirement that God has for the woman who calls herself his daughter. And the older women are to model this and to teach it. And it says this in more than one portion of scripture. So this is not like it's isolated to one culture. It's communicated to the church. Anybody who is any woman who is a daughter of God has a responsibility to obey his word, and his word is communicated right here, and Paul calls it sound instruction. So when we look at this love for their husbands, that the older women are to teach the younger women, it's very important for us to understand how imperative this is when it comes to the women in the church, in particular, those who claim to be daughters of God. So the other is to love their children. And this, again, is something that is easy to overlook when we look at being fond of your husband and fond of your children. You know what we call that today? We call that depression and oppression. It seems for a woman to have a husband and children is like the man keeping her down. And I don't know if there is a greater model of blessing and purity than a woman who is a blessing to her husband and her children. I don't know if there's anything better in terms of a model of purity and sobriety and holiness. And this is something, again, that is being not just dismissed by the world, but it's being dismissed by the church. And I tell you some of the things that we've talked about along the way. When we speak about, for example, a woman loving her children, we look at how easy it is to outsource everything that has to do with your children. Now, when we come together, for example, in service, women want to get rid of their children for the sake of worship. And I've never really understood why the church wants to help with this, but why this has become the expectation and the standard. And it's not, again, it is really confusing how dismissive we are about parental responsibility and how everything now is being outsourced. We have professional ministry for every age group you can think of, from babies to high schoolers. And it's really interesting that this love, this maternal love, and this relationship between mother and child is something that the church should encourage. So we shouldn't be in a hurry to frown upon, or discourage women from being with their children, including in the worship service, in worship. And it's really interesting looking now at how we become so bougie in worship that if a child cries, then everybody's looking and saying that it's interrupting worship, when in actuality, it's a part of worship. It is what God requires, you know. So when we look at a mother loving her children, instead of frowning upon that, we should be encouraging and teaching that. And we should not be so caught up in the silence of worship, if you will, that we don't encourage the sound of children during worship, especially when they're in the arms of their mother. Because she's demonstrating her love toward them, and God is demonstrating his love toward us all. And you say, how did you get all of that out of mothers loving their children? Well, it's there. It's just a matter of what we encourage and how we have become so willing to outsource parental relationships, and especially the one between the mother and the child. And another thing that tends to happen frequently now is mothers sending their children to worship and not actually being with their children when their children come to worship. And so the church is really taking on the parental role, and that is something that's not sound. It just is not in accordance with God's word. So what follows is, if you call yourself a child of God and you're disobeying the word of God, then you've got to answer to God. And again, that's something that should concern you. And older women should encourage the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Something else along the lines of loving their children. If you consider abortion, I've shared this with you before, 62% of those who have abortion claim religious affiliation. Now, this is from the 2016 Guttmacher Institute statistics. So 62% of those who have abortions in 2016 claim religious affiliation. And then we look again when it comes to mothers loving their children. It's interesting to see how quickly mothers are to harm their children or to put their children in the way of harm. And it starts also with abortion. When we look at abortion and consider how mothers actually willingly kill their own children, and this is something that now in our time, and it has happened in time past historically, that the older women have encouraged the younger women to be, you know, your body is yours and it's your choice and you should be able to continue your professional life or your education. And, you know, if a child is an inconvenience, then just abort the child. You may be surprised at how many older women actually encourage the younger women that they have a right to kill or terminate their child. And, you know, and we're talking again within the church. We're talking within the church. So it's so important for us to understand this, and especially as it relates to issues like divorce and abortion. And oftentimes within the church, we act like this does not affect us or is not a problem for the church, when in actuality, it is very much a problem for the church. And one of the major areas of disconnect is the lack of teaching and the lack of modeling from the older women to the young women. And this is where I will say emphatically, we have failed, and we have failed in a major way. So another part of what's communicated here in Titus chapter 2, speaking about sound doctrine, this is what is communicated as it relates to sound doctrine for each of these groups. So we move from the older men to the older women, and the older women to teaching the young women. And then it continues on with what they are to teach. They are teaching them to be sensible, as the New American Standard says here in verse 5, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So again, we're looking at what is communicated in terms of being sensible, that is sound in mind, self-control, to be chaste, that means to be innocent or pure, to be clean. And we can have a long conversation on this. I once posed a question that if we really, if we were really honest in terms of wedding dresses, and if we really considered that you wear a white wedding dress to demonstrate your virginity at the time that you're getting married, how many brides would actually be able to wear a white wedding dress? You know, that's something to consider, because it's that serious. If we're talking about being pure or being sound in mind and self-controlled and chaste, this is something that we need to not endorse, but we should discourage compromising the purity, or our young women from compromising their purity. We should not put them on birth control just in case. And this is what happens again within the church. We settle and we don't teach what is right according to God. We like to teach in terms of the just in cases, you know, the possibilities. You know, you can have an abortion, or you can just get on birth control just in case you compromise your purity, or you need to just focus on you and you don't need a husband and children, and these things are frowned upon. And it's so unfortunate that we've strayed so far away from the word of God in this regard, both in living it and teaching it, specifically from the older women to the young women. So we're going to stop here at verse 5, and Lord willing, we will resume the study when we meet next week. In the meantime, remember that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.